Welcome to the Victor Orlando Podcast. We exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus and to connect them with their purpose. To learn more about us, visit us at victoryorlando.com. Thanks for listening. We pray that you are encouraged and inspired by today's message.
Well, today, the word of the Lord is hearing and obeying God's voice. Hearing and obeying God's voice. Want to start a new message series for this month called Staying on Track. And as I thought about it and prayed about this beginning of this year, you know, we get to the beginning of the year, people make resolutions, they make goals, all kinds of things like that. And what happens so often in life is that we get going in a direction, we get excited about something, but then how many of y'all know life comes by, life gets busy, there starts to get all kinds of things get a little messy. And before long, what we don't realize is that we've drifted off track. We've gotten away from where we started from before. And in order for us to get back on track, we've got to make some course corrections to get back on track. And I believe that God is calling his people, his church, in this new season, in this new decade, in this new year, to stay on track, to not allow ourselves to get pulled off track, not to lose our way or to get offended or whatever else. But God wants us to stay on track because he has things for us to do. He has anointing for us to walk in. He has power for you to walk in. He has blessing for you to experience, but we're going to need to stay on track if we're going to see all that God has for us in this new season. So staying on track. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm staying on track. I'm staying on track. Here in Central Florida, where we live near the beach, baby. You know what I'm saying? Cocoa Beach and Daytona, and then we go to the other side, and it's great. I love being near the beach. I grew up in Oklahoma. We didn't have the beach. We had lakes and rivers, and the problem with those is that when you go there, they're just brown, and you can't see in them, and it just looks gross. So when I came to the beach, you know, I was like, I was praising the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And, you know, when my family goes to the beach, we get all our stuff together. We drive out there. We get out on the sand, you know, and then you start looking around for your spot. Where are we going to put our stuff? Where are we going to camp for the day? So we find our spot. We get over there. We get everything ready. Maybe you, put your blankets out or your towels out. Get your spot. Maybe you've got an umbrella. You put your umbrella out. We always put sunscreen on, lots of sunscreen, you know, keep yourself coated. I'm very white, so I need a lot of sunscreen, you know. Get out there, we get all ready, and then we go down to the water. You know, you get in the water, you start swimming around, you're having a good time. When I'm in the water, I'm always looking around, making sure I know where my daughter is, making sure I can see where Bella is, making sure I'm watching out for sharks, you know. Don't worry about it. Don't be afraid of the beach now, okay? I'm always looking around. And occasionally what I do is I'll look back up on the shore and I'll look at my stuff to make sure no one's messing with it. Because isn't that so weird? We're so careful to make sure we don't leave our stuff anywhere. But when we go to the beach, we just leave our stuff way over there around people that we would never leave it around anywhere else. It's so funny. That's funny. And what I find is that so often as we're playing in the ocean, riding the boogie boards or doing whatever, and then I look back at my stuff and I expect to see it right behind me. But what I find is that I've drifted down shore a little bit because of the undertow and the currents and all the things. And my stuff is actually over there now instead of directly behind me. So what do we have to do? We have to work ourselves back up the current so that now I'm back by my stuff again. Then we go back to playing and stuff. And just what happens over time without even noticing then, man, we keep drifting down. And it's the same thing in our lives. So often we find ourselves drifting from where we were before, sometimes not even by anything we've done bad or done anything wrong, but just by the natural course of life and things going on that we just can drift so easily and not even realizing it. God wants to help us to get back on track so we can stay in the track and the path that he has for us. So we're staying on track. So over the next 4 weeks, I want to talk about four very specific things that are going to help us to stay on track in this new year. That's going to help us to get some disciplines in our lives, some things in our lives so that we stay on track. So today we're talking about hearing and obeying God's voice. If you've got your Bible, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. If y'all been around a little while, you know I normally preach from the NIV, but I also love the Passion Translation. Come on. So I want to read this verse from the Passion Translation today. It says this, Hebrews 2:1. This is why it is so crucial that we are all the more engaged and attentive to the truths that we have heard so that we do not drift off course. It's good. He's given us kind of some ideas on how we cannot drift off course. He's saying, hey, it's crucial. It's critical for us, for believers in Christ, that we are engaged, that we are more attentive to the truths that we've heard from God's word so that we don't drift off course, so that we stay on track. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to explore some truths that we need to be more attentive to, that we need to be more engaged with in our lives so that we can stay on track in our lives. So we're talking about hearing and obeying the voice of God. And I want to ask this question really as a rhetorical question. So just, you know, maybe don't raise your hand if this is you. Just kind of think about it. Just want to get our thoughts going this morning. But how many of you would say, you know, there's a point in my life where I was closer to God than I am right now? How, you know, maybe there was a point in your life you can identify that you are more passionate about the Word of God and studying the Word and knowing it and meditating on it than maybe you are right now. Maybe there was a time, you know, we can think about those times where when we were maybe first saved or we went through a radical experience with God and we were just on fire for God. We couldn't wait to get up in the morning and read our Bible. Like, you couldn't keep us out of church. Like, we didn't just show up to church. We were there early. You know, we had our Bible under our arm and we're the ones like ready to sit in the splash zone on the front row and all that kind of stuff. You know, the crazy ones that are hooping and hollering, hey, come on, Pastor. You know, like, we were just excited for what God was doing everywhere we went. We saw God doing great things. We wanted to pray for everyone. We wanted to pray for dogs and cats. Anything we could pray for, we wanted to pray for. There were sometimes just seasons of our lives where we were just more passionate about the things of God and what He's called us to do. But what happens so often is that then things start happening. Maybe somebody hurts us or says something to us, and you're like, oh, it's not so easy to forgive as it was. That one really hurt. Or different things in life happen. And so often, man, that passion begins to dwindle a little bit. But the good thing about God, I love this about God, is that, man, it's never too far. It's never too late. Because God just specializes in bringing people who feel far from Him nice and close. And He wants to do the same thing with you and me. He wants to draw us. Scripture says He stands at the door of our heart and He's knocking, just waiting for us. Just waiting for us to say, come on in. Come on in. So there's a role that we play in how close we get to God. God gave everything to know us, to be close to us. But then we have to be willing to invite Him into our lives, to bring Him close. James says, when we draw near to Him, He draws near to us. That's such a great promise. So if you feel like God is far from you or mad at you or distant, that's a lie from the enemy. You can just begin to thank Him. God, I thank You that when I draw near to You, You draw near to me. So in these 21 days of we are drawing near to God, you're going to sense God drawing near to you. Because that's His word. That's His promise for us, right? So I heard the story about this couple. They were young and they were in love and they were newlyweds. And the guy had this old truck, you know, the kind of truck that had the bench seats in there where the seat goes all the way across the front. It's not the divided seats. They don't make these bench seats anymore. But the seat went all the way across. So when they were first together, first married, the wife would scoot all the way over, lean all the way up next to her man, you know, and just be with the Kodak moment eyes, you know, and they were just in love and they just, you know, just always as close as they could be, cuddling and stuff. And, you know, they went through life and they kept the truck. And 20 years later, they're getting ready to celebrate their anniversary. And so they go for a ride in the truck again. And the husband's sitting over in his seat driving and the wife is sitting over on her seat. And she says, honey, yeah, do you remember when we were first together and so in love? Yeah, I sure do. She said, well, what happened? I feel like we're so far apart now. And he says, well, I'm still sitting in my same seat. What happened to you? I would suggest that sometimes it's not God that's moved, it's us. He's in the same place. It's just that sometimes we drift away from that place of being close to him. So we're going to stay on track. So if we're going to hear the voice of God more clearly, I don't know about anybody else, but in this new year, I want to hear God speaking more clearly. I want my faith to grow. I want my faith to be strengthened. I want to experience more of his power. I want to walk in more of the anointing that he has for me. I want to see more things happening, more miracles happening in my life and what I'm involved in. I want to see more favor in my life. Anybody else? But the interesting thing is those things don't happen by accident. They don't happen by default. They happen by people who are willing to seek after them, who are willing to chase after them. So if we want to hear God speaking more, we want to experience more of him in this new year, there's some truths that we need to understand. Even before we talk about how do we hear God's voice, there's some truths that we need to kind of establish a foundation before we even get to that point. So I want to give us a couple key truths, foundational truths we need to understand about God and his voice. So if you're taking notes, I want you to write these down. First one is this, is that God is a talking God. He's a talking God. I know it's simple, but it's so foundational for us to understand that God is a talking God because so many people have a different picture of God. Some people picture him as, you know, the big man in the chair in the sky, the big guy. Some people picture him as, you know, the traffic cop watching out for anybody who messes up. Get him. I'm going to get him. Some people think he's like, you know, like the Wizard of Oz, kind of behind the curtains, pulling the strings, which that's a weird movie if you've ever seen it. It's strange. Some people think that, you know, he's just like a code of ethics or a morality system. Some people associate God to a statue or a monument or something they saw somewhere like, oh, that must be who God is. But that's not who God is. God is a living spirit. He's a good father. The scripture is full of this kind of family language that when we received Christ, that God becomes our father. We are his children, his sons and his daughters. Jesus was the son of God. God is father. So there's this family set up in the kingdom of God, and that's part of who God is. But he is a living spirit who is actively talking to his children. He's actively talking the same way any of us would talk to our children. We wouldn't just say one thing to them today and then not speak to them again for a whole nother year. No, we would talk to them as often as we can because they're our children and we love them. We want to be with them. We want to invest in their lives. We want to experience all the joy that we get from having children. God is the same way. He is speaking to us all the time. He is a talking God. So if we're going to hear God speaking more clearly, if we're going to obey what God has for us, then we need to have this confidence in knowing that God is speaking to his people. God is a speaking God. He's speaking all the time. Sometimes people say things like, yeah, God spoke to me that one time 14 years ago. And he probably did speak to you 14 years ago, but he also spoke to you yesterday and today. Hebrews 3 says, today, if you hear the voice of God, don't harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. So there's that word, today, underline, circle, highlight, whatever that word, today. That means God is speaking today. That means God is speaking not just for people in the Bible times, not just for Jonah and Noah and all those guys. No, he's speaking today. Today, if you hear his voice, and even when we get to tomorrow and tomorrow becomes today, he'll be speaking today. And when we get to next week and next week becomes today, he'll still be speaking today. God is speaking all the time. He's speaking. It's just not everyone hears him. Some people have, like he says, hardened their hearts. And actually, if you read the whole passage, he says, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as you did in rebellion. So he's calling hardening our hearts and not listening to him the same as rebellion. Like, so we've got to have ears that are in tune. We've got to become more sensitive in our spirits to the moving of the Spirit in our lives so that when he speaks the slightest whisper, like we are in tune to it, just like the radio in your car. You can tune your radio to any station, but you can only tune it into one thing and hear it clearly. It's the same with God. We can tune our lives into anything, listen to any voice that's out there. People do it all the time. They're listening to the news. They're listening to whatever else. But what if we just tuned our lives into the Spirit of God and we could just fine-tune that thing and become more sensitive, more aware of what God is speaking and what God is doing so that at any moment we're ready to move in the direction that he has for us. Today, if you hear his voice. If you got your Bibles, flip real quick to the end, Revelations chapter 2, verse 7. It's the last book of the Bible. It's written by a guy named John. He was actually exiled to the island of Patmos, and he's there on this island by himself, seemingly by himself, but an angel shows up, and he has a vision, right? He has a vision of the last days, and part of this vision, the angel tells him, and he says, hey, I want you to write these things down. I want you to send seven specific letters to seven specific churches with some corrections and some warnings and some things about them. And I encourage you to go ahead and read those. Revelations 2 and 3, you have those seven letters in them. But each of those letters to the churches end with the same phrase. We're going to read it from the first one, Revelations 2, 7. It says, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So we know he's not writing to unbelievers. He's writing to believers, to those who are in the church. So he's writing to us, right? Those in the church. And he's saying, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So go ahead. You've got two on the side of your head. Go ahead and touch them. Make sure they're there. If you're doing it, then you can hear because you're doing what I asked you to do. That's good. Good job. So obviously he's not talking about these. We all have these. So what is he talking about? Another translation says that phrase this way. Whoever has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So there's a hearing that takes place in the Spirit. So whoever hears what the Spirit is saying. So what he's saying is whoever has the desire to hear what the Spirit is saying. Whoever's hungry to hear what God is saying to the churches. Whoever's willing to press in. Whoever's willing to pay the cost to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches will be the one that hears what the Spirit is saying. So there's not some secret access that the pastor that I have that you don't have. We all have access to the same Spirit of God, to hear him in the same way. We all have the same access. It's just not everyone is willing to press in to hear God in the same way. It's the same way with, any one of us has the ability to become a professional athlete, but not everyone will. Not everyone's willing to go to the gym and practice and do all the things and get all the coaches and do all. Not everyone's willing to do that. So not everyone will become a professional athlete. It's the same thing in the hearing God's voice. Not everyone's willing to press in, to seek God, to spend time with him, to know him, to hear his voice. So not everyone will, but everyone can. Everyone can. I believe this is the bunch that is willing to do it, to press in, to hear God. And honestly, the most exciting part of our lives, man, is when we hear God speaking and then we have the ability to do what he's called us to do. It's the best part of our lives. Here's the second foundational truth we need to understand. Number two, God expects us to hear and obey. He expects us to. Many of us in this room are parents, and when we speak to our kids, we expect them to listen and obey. None of us would be very excited if we spoke to our kids and they didn't listen and they didn't do what we asked them to do. If we did that, you know, if we speak to them, ask them to do something, and they didn't do it, none of us would run out and buy them a pony or buy them a Mustang or take them out for ice cream. Let's get the extra sprinkles on there. No, none of us would do that. Why? Because when we talk to them, we expect them to listen and we expect them to do what they've been asked to do. We expect them to obey. Where do you think we get that from? From our Heavenly Father. He's our Father. So when he speaks, he expects us to listen and then obey. Sometimes parents, you know, when their kids act that way, they're like, it's no big deal. You can just do whatever they want. I just can do whatever. And it's really a sad deal because what they're actually doing is teaching their kids to not hear or obey the voice of God. We have to realize that as parents, we have to see beyond just the natural. I'm not just trying to teach my kids to do what I say so they don't get in a spanking or whatever else. I'm teaching my kids to hear the voice of God and to learn to obey. Like we're teaching our kids spiritual principles in these things. It's so important for us. It's so important. Here's the third foundational truth, is that everything God says is for our good. Everything God says is for our good. James 1, 16 and 17 says, do not be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. So evidently, there's some deception going around about this concept. He says, don't be deceived. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. So everything good comes from God. And it's true, there's so much deception in the world, and especially in the church, about this idea that God is good all the time and the devil is bad all the time, and God is never bad. God never does anything to hurt us or to harm us. God doesn't send things on us to teach us a lesson. Jesus talked about this, John 10:10. He said the thief, or our spiritual enemy, the devil, He only comes. I underline that word only, meaning his sole purpose. The only reason he comes at us and tries to mess up our lives is to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly, have it to the full. So we see clearly the comparison between the two. If you've ever done any online shopping, you can click and compare some items. You have them in the columns, you know, like killing, stealing, destroying, destruction, death. Life, life more abundantly. This is the devil's column over here that is killing, stealing, destruction, and death. God's column is life, life more abundantly, blessing, prosperity, health, all those things. God is good all the time, and every good thing we have comes from him. God is a good God. But what we do have to understand, this is where the deception tries to creep in, is there's a difference between bad things happening and discipline and correction. God does discipline and correct us. We actually have to be careful if we don't experience the correction of God, because scripture tells us that if we don't experience correction, then we're not really his children. In fact, 2 Timothy tells us that scripture, all scripture is given to teach us, to encourage us, to correct us. Why? So that we can be grow into a fully mature believer. So evidently, there will be moments where we don't get it all right. It's good. It's good. So we don't have to be perfect. We're not going to get it all right, but we have to be willing to receive correction and discipline from our Heavenly Father. But that's not the same as something, God doing something bad in our lives, because God wants good in our lives, and correction and discipline is good for us. It's what causes us to grow. It's what causes us to learn. It's what causes us to excel forward and stay on track. So correction and discipline is actually a good thing from our Heavenly Father. So God has good for us. Here's the fourth foundational truth we need to understand about God speaking is this. God speaks specifics. Say that 5 times fast. That's a tough one. God speaks specifics, right? It's all throughout Scripture, God speaking details. Sometimes people think, well, God is just kind of giving me concepts and general things. And there are moments God does that, but God always speaks specifics. He has details in mind. He has specifics that he wants to give out. We think about Noah in the Bible in the very beginning, right? He had a specific timeline for him, specific materials to use, a specific type of wood, specific measurements on how to make all the different parts of the ark. And then you go to David and, you know, how he's meant to defeat Goliath. And you go to building of the temple and the specific instructions and all these things. All throughout the Bible is full of specifics. Even the whole concept of the Bible, how it was written over hundreds and hundreds of years by different authors, and all the specifics and details and prophecies and all the things that came true and all lead to one point and one thing. Like, God speaks specifics to his people. He speaks in detail to his people. So I know in my own life, I've experienced this. Before I worked at this church, I was a web developer. So I sat in front of a computer all day, and I created websites and code and writing things. And oftentimes, I would run into situations where I didn't know what to do, or things weren't working right, or the system was crashing. What do I do? I don't know how to fix this. I don't know how to write this, or whatever it was. And I remember so many times remembering the words that my pastor taught me growing up. And I know it was the Holy Spirit bringing those things back to my mind. But man, it's like anytime we experience a difficult place or a hard place where we don't know what to do, stop and invite God into that space. And it's just so amazing. So I started doing that. Like when I'd experienced one of those places, like, God, I don't know what to do. What do I need to do in this place? What's the right code that I need to do? What's the right thing that needs to happen here? And it never failed. As soon as I would do that, just stop whatever I was doing, invite God into that space, ask for his help. Man, I would open my eyes and I would begin to see the solution. This is what I need to do, and begin to do it. And things would begin to work. It never failed. And I will just tell you the same way. Anytime we stop what we're doing and we make space and invite God into the space, man, he always has specifics. He has solutions that he can bring even into the smallest details of our lives. Because I know, like, writing websites for people is not that big of a deal. Like, it's not even that important in the grand scheme of things, but God is interested in all the details of our lives. And if we will make space, if we will invite him into that space, he will be a part of it, and he will have answers, and he will have specifics that we need. That's a good place to say amen right there. He has specifics. So on a daily basis, God is speaking details for our lives. God will lead our lives on a daily basis if we'll invite him in. He'll help us and know where we should go, where we shouldn't go, people we should be around, people we shouldn't be around, things we should buy, things we shouldn't buy, planes we should be on, planes we shouldn't be on. Maybe even if you're single in the house and you're wanting to be married and you're 2/3 ready, you and the preacher are ready, you know, and you're like, where's the other third? And, that's funny right there. And you're like, God has specifics that he can lead you in every area of your life, even in the person that you're meant to be with, the person that he has for you. All of those things, he has specifics and details that if we invite him into that space and seek him first, then everything else will fall into place. So, foundational truth. So now how do we hear the voice of God? Because for me, man, so much of my life, God, I want to hear your voice more. How do I hear his voice more clearly? Anybody else? I want to give us a couple key things that are going to help us in this new year to hear the voice of God in a deeper way. Number one is this. We need to believe that you hear God's voice. If you want to hear him speaking more clearly, if you want to obey his voice more clearly in this new year, then you got to start with believing that you hear his voice. Because if you don't believe that you hear his voice, guess what? You probably won't. It'll probably be difficult for you to hear him because you don't think you will. Right? Scripture tells us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Right? Then it takes it a step further. Scripture also tells us that the spirit of faith is I believe and therefore I speak. I believe, therefore I speak. So if you really want to know what you believe, listen to yourself talk. Sometimes people think they believe that God, you know, they want to hear God speaking to them, like, I hope that God will speak to me. I believe that God will speak to me, but I just don't think that he will. I'm just not sure if he can. And instead of believing, they're doubting based on their words. They're speaking all these kinds of things. And so often we are flippantly just saying things, saying words, saying phrases, saying things that we've heard, and we're countering the very things that we think we're believing and hoping in. Man, we want to hear God speaking more clearly. It starts by believing. We need to check the things that are coming out of our mouths. We need to change some of the words that are coming out of our mouths and begin to speak the words. Like my friend Noah was talking about, I hear and know the voice of God. I follow and obey. He knows me. It's John 10:27. Jesus said that my sheep listen to my voice. He's just stating facts. My sheep listen to my voice. My sheep, my followers. So if you are a follower of Christ, you listen to his voice. There wasn't any, maybe they will. No, it wasn't any doubt in there. No, he's just like, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. It's so funny to me just how plain he makes it, how clear he makes it. Like, but yet so many Christians don't know the voice of God. They don't listen because they don't believe that, like, they can hear him. But I'm telling you, this is a promise for you. If you are a follower of Christ, you hear and know his voice. So begin to believe that. You hear and know the voice of God, and you follow and you obey. That is part of who you are. It's not something you're trying to do. It's who you are. You are a follower of Christ, so you know his voice. It's good for us. We have to believe that we can hear his voice. Sometimes When we're beginning to change our vocabulary and change our words, we just need some help. We need accountability in our lives, someone who can get in our face and check us a little bit. You know, me and my wife, Heather, do we do this all the time? You know, we're like, one of us will say something and the other one will be like, do you want me to agree with that? Right? Because our words are powerful. And especially when two or three are gathered together in agreement, there's power in agreement. And so we have to be careful about the words that we say. Do you want me to be in agreement with that? We went through a season of our life where we were trying to seek God more, and we wanted God to speak to us about some things, and he dealt with us about these three little words that we said a lot, and that was, I don't know. And we found ourselves realizing that we are saying these words all the time. I don't know. God, what do you want me to do? I'm believing that God is going to tell me what to do. Hey, what should we do today? I don't know. I don't know this. I just don't know this. And we realized how often we are saying that. So we just started catching each other and be like, no, we do know. We begin to change our vocabulary, even in the smallest of things. Like, I don't know what the weather tomorrow is going to be. I just removed those words from my vocabulary because I do know. I have the mind of Christ, and I can do all things that Christ through Christ who strengthens me. Sometimes it's just changing the things that we're saying to change what we're believing. We believe, and therefore we speak. We've got to get a hold of what we're speaking if we want to hear God more in this new year. Here's the second key if we want to hear God's voice more clearly. The second one is we need to be ready. Be ready. Here's what I mean by being ready. If your favorite movie star or the president or your favorite, you know, athlete was coming to your house tomorrow morning for coffee, our afternoon would look a little different. We'd be running home. Get out of the way. Slow drivers, get off the road. We'd be getting all the cleaning supplies, every cleaning supply that's available. Clean the floors. Do the dishes. Well, all those dishes are clean. Do them again. Wash the clothes. Wash the dog. You know, whatever. Dust everything. Get a haircut. Get my eyebrows done. Get my nails done. Whatever it takes. Get the best coffee that there is. Hire a barista. Get a new coffee maker. Get some potpourri and let it cook all night so the house smells nice. We'd be doing whatever it took, and then we would be waiting. You know, we wouldn't be sitting back watching Netflix before they got there. No, we'd be waiting. You know, are they there yet? Are they there yet? So as soon as they drive up, we're ready. The kids, don't move. Don't say anything. Hello. So glad you're here today. We would be so ready. Everything would be perfect and pristine. And, you know, sometimes then when it comes to spending time with God, people are like, well, I'll try to squeeze it in today. If I miss it, it's okay. It's not that big a deal. I just got to breeze through it. I got to get to work. I woke up late. Okay. Check. And then we're, God, I can't hear your voice speaking to me. God, where are you? I want to hear you more. And all the while, like, we're not ready to hear him. We haven't prepared our hearts. We haven't prepared an atmosphere. There's something special about creating a space, just a space. It's not a requirement to hear God, but there's something special that God is attracted to when we just have a place that we go to. Mark chapter 1, Jesus went to a certain place early in the morning before it was light to pray. Not just a random place, a certain place, a specific place. He went to a specific place to pray before it was light, before anybody was up. What was he doing? He was showing us how to be ready, how to spend time with God, how to get alone with God. Like, if we want to hear him speaking, if we'll get ourselves ready, if we'll push everything else to the side, God, nothing else matters right now, but just you and me, you'll hear him speaking so clearly. Being ready. We got to get ourselves ready. Let me say it this way. God's not going to compete with Kardashians and Harry Potter and Netflix and all that stuff for space in our lives. It's up to us to make the space. It's up to us to clear the stage, clear the stage. Get out all the idols. Get out all the things that are trying to steal the affections of our hearts. And just be ready to hear from him. Just be ready to be in his presence. Like, like, even when you come to church, be ready. Don't be running in at 11:15. Be running in at 10:45 so you don't miss the first note of worship. Because worship ain't about us. It's about glorifying him, about magnifying him. Like, be ready to hear from him. In 1 Kings chapter 19, there's a story of a prophet Elijah, and he's on the run for his life. The queen Jezebel is out to kill him, and he's running for his life. He's praying, "Dear God, please help me. What do I do?" And so he gets up in the morning. An angel brings food to him. He eats the food, and he heads out on a journey. It says he travels across the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. He finally gets to the mountain of God, and he sleeps overnight in a cave there. Now, that's a long journey. That's almost twice 21 days journey just to hear from God. And here he is, he's sleeping, and he wakes up in the morning. An angel comes to him and says, "Get up, come to the edge of the cave. The Lord is about to pass by you." Whew. Now, isn't that exciting? The Lord is about to pass by you. Now, imagine what kind of entrance the Lord would make. I don't know, has anybody ever planned your own entrance to a room before? Come on, I know I'm not the only one. You know, with lights and lasers. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, 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 dun. You know, something spectacular. Haze and stuff going everywhere. Some confetti, maybe. It's just me? Okay. Wonder what kind of entrance the Lord would make. The Lord is about to pass by. Verse 11. Then there was a great and powerful wind that tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went and stood at the mouth of the cave. And then the voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" I've just found in my life that, man, so often the voice of God is not the big, you know, thing that everyone, it's not this, it's just this gentle voice, this whisper that when I'm willing to quiet myself enough, when I'm willing to make space in my life, I can hear him speaking to me. Hear him speaking when we're ready. Make ourselves ready. Here's the third one. If we're going to hear the voice of God more clearly, so we got to spend time with him. Got to spend more time with him. I know the voice of my wife, Heather, very well. I could pick it out in a crowd. I could pick her laugh out in a crowd. Why? Because I've spent time daily with her, getting to know her. In fact, we've been married 16 years, and I know, you know, like when I'm doing things or making decisions, I think about how I know Heather wouldn't like this or would like this, or I know how she'll think. Why? Because I've spent time getting to know her and what she likes and how she thinks about things. Like, and it's the same with God. If we want to hear God's voice, we got to spend more time with him on a regular basis. Once hour on Sunday ain't going to do it. It's a daily thing. It's an everyday thing. If we want to hear God speaking more clearly, we got to spend more time with him. How do we spend more time with him? I wrote down just a couple things, not an exhaustive list by any means, but if we want to spend more time with him, we can do it by reading the Bible, right? It's God's word. It's alive and powerful. And when we read the word, it shows us his character. It shows us his nature, how he thinks about things, the things he likes, the things he doesn't like. It's his word comes into our hearts. It divides between the fleshly, soul things and the things of the Spirit. It helps us to renew our minds to think more along the lines of the Spirit. We spend time with God in worship when we lift our hands. Lift your hands in the sanctuary. It's in Psalms. Look it up. Lift your hands. We worship God through our songs, through our singing, right? So we worship God when we make a joyful noise. American Idol isn't the only place where we can listen to people sing off key. That can be in your car, in your shower, wherever. You can worship anywhere. You can be in Publix and be worshiping. You can worship him. Worship is not just a song. Worship is the things that we think about, the places our hearts run to, that our affections long to be. Where do you long to be? David wrote, "As the deer pants for the water, longs for the water, so my soul longs for you." It longs for you, God. Like that, that is the heart of worship, right? Maybe getting a little dance on before the Lord, dancing before the Lord. David danced with all of his might before the Lord. I got this dance floor every week right here. So the club isn't the only place I dance in front of people. worshiping the Lord. We get to know him reading the Bible, worshiping, spending time in prayer. You want to spend time with God? Spend time praying. Spend time praying in the Holy Spirit, in other tongues. You want to spend time with God? Be in church. Scratch that. Don't be in church. Be the church. Be involved in what's going on in the church. Don't attend. Like, attend, be here, but be part of what God is doing. You want to hear him speaking? You want to spend time with him? Serve somebody. Be part of what the move of God that's happening. You want to spend time with God? Be a giver. God is a giver. He's the original giver. God loved, so he gave. You want to spend time with him? Give. You want to spend time with God? Be willing to serve and love the unlovable. We're talking about keys to hearing God more clearly in this new year. Here's number four, and it's simply this. It's just to obey. So often, we are asking God, God, I want to hear your voice. God, would you speak to me? Just let me know what you want me to do. And then he speaks, and then we decide, do I want to do that? Nah, I don't want to do that one. What else you got? God's like, I just spoke to you. And so he will wait till we're willing to be obedient. So if we're not going to do what he said, why is he going to give us something else? We want to hear God speaking more clearly. Just begin to do the things that he speaks to us. Begin to obey. I'm so thankful to be in a group of people. This is the bunch that I know is willing to hear God, to press into him, to seek God, to forsake everything else. God, I want to hear you and be willing to obey God. Whatever you speak to me, wherever you lead me to go, whatever you lead me to do, I'm willing to do it. This is the bunch right here that I know we're going to hear God and obey him in this new year like never before. Amen. Let's all jump to our feet across this room. Just begin to stir yourself up in your spirit. Begin to pray. Begin to seek God in this moment. If you can pray in other tongues, begin to stir up your spirit. Lord, I thank you that you're moving in this place right now, that you're stirring faith in us right now. God, we want to hear your voice. God, we want to know you more. We want to be closer to you. We want to be more sensitive, more in tune with your spirit and what you're doing and what you're saying. God, we want to be in the middle of Walmart and hear your voice so clearly. We want to be at work and be in that meeting and have the answer that no one else has been able to figure out. Lord God, let us be the ones that are in tune with you, Lord God. We don't want to miss a single word. God, we are hungry. We are thirsty for you, God. We long to be in your presence. We long to be with you, God. So God, I thank you right now that doubt is leaving this place. Doubt is losing its grip on hearts and minds in this place. I bind up that foul spirit of doubt right now, and I cast it out in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that faith is growing. Faith is being stirred up on the inside of us because your word is declared, and faith comes by hearing through the word. So, Lord, I thank you that faith is being built in us today. Faith to believe we are your children. We are followers of Jesus, and we know your voice. We hear your voice, and we obey. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in us.